Later today, the House of Representatives is expected to vote on whether to hold Mark Meadows in criminal contempt. The former chief of staff for President Trump and former member of the House is accused of defying a subpoena from the panel investigating the January 6th riot at the Capitol. Meadows has already shared thousands of emails and text messages he got that day, and committee member Liz Cheney, a Republican, read some of them aloud last night, including this one from the president's son.
Quote, "He's got to condemn this ASAP. The Capitol Police tweet is not enough," Donald Trump Jr. texted. Meadows responded, quote, "I'm pushing it hard. I agree." Still, President Trump did not immediately act.
Joining us now is Jackie Alemany. She's congressional correspondent at the Washington Post. Hi, Jackie.
Hey, Scott. Thanks so much for having me.
Now, Jackie, these text messages that Liz Cheney read were not just from Donald Jr. There were cabinet officials, GOP House members, hosts from Fox News, all asking Meadows to get Trump to go public and tell the rioters to stop. What does all this add to what the committee is looking for?
That's exactly right. I think what it does is two things. It helps paint a picture of the extent that Trump's chief of staff, Mark Meadows, was aware of and involved with some of the activities related to January 6th. This sort of confirms, as Liz Cheney said, that Meadows was well aware that there was violence playing out at the Capitol and that those around Trump, some of his closest allies, his son, wanted the president to intervene and thought that he could make a difference and potentially prevent some of the death and violence that we saw. I think it also helps illuminate the case that the committee is making for Mark Meadows to provide more information. It shows that he's a key figure in understanding Trump's efforts to overturn the results of the election. He can answer what role the White House played in planning the rally that preceded attack. And most importantly, he is the person who perhaps singularly can respond most comprehensively why Trump did not immediately come out and forcefully call on supporters to stop their assault.
Now, in the hearing last night, Liz Cheney also spoke of President Trump's supreme dereliction of duty. What might the committee make of that question?
Yeah, that's something that we are still trying to parse. And I think what is pretty remarkable about this investigation is how much new information has come out already, even though this was an event that happened in January. And some reporters have spent a whole year reporting on it. But I think that this primarily relates to why the president, one, didn't issue a public statement, two, why he was delayed on getting the National Guard to quell some of the violence, and then also, you know, more information and details on the preparation leading up to January 6th and the role that the president played in perhaps contributing to the lack of preparedness amongst government agencies.
Now, as you mentioned, the president's communications with Meadows, we don't have, and he says they're protected by executive privilege. Here he is explaining his side to Fox News last night.
I've tried to share non-privileged information, but truly the executive privilege that Donald Trump has claimed is his to waive. It's not mine to waive. It's not Congress's to waive. And that's why we filed the lawsuit, to hopefully get the courts to weigh in. Hopefully they'll weigh in.
Now, we already have an executive privilege contempt of Congress case going against Steve Bannon. The Justice Department now has to decide whether to pursue charges against Mark Meadows, that is, if the full House votes in favor of this resolution. What might the DOJ be weighing as far as whether this would be worth it?
The DOJ has been pretty opaque when it comes to the decision-making process behind whether or not Attorney General Merrick Garland will prosecute some of these targets that have been held in criminal contempt. They ultimately decided to hold Steve Bannon in contempt. Meadows is going to be a trickier case here. I think that the 51-page contempt report released by the committee is very compelling and in part helps undermine the legal case that Meadows is making, that a lot of these communications are covered by executive privilege. Also, the fact that his book came out last week In that book, he actually talks about his conversations with the president. But on the flip side of this, once the Department of Justice decides to prosecute someone for criminal contempt, yes, that means that they can potentially be punished in the end if they are found guilty. But that information that the committee is looking for and that the committee basically made clear last night runs through Mark Meadows might not be available to them because the criminal contempt process doesn't actually resolve the key issue of providing the information that they want.
This report, you mentioned that the committee released. What specific important details can we glean from that?
Yeah, Scott, for as much of a blockbuster night as last night was, there actually was perhaps more new information in this 51-page contempt report. The committee details several instances where Meadows personally assisted Trump with efforts to overturn the results of the election. That included an actual trip to Georgia where he personally inspected a quote-unquote county audit that was related to election fraud. They detailed his participation in meetings with senior DOJ officials about unsupported election fraud claims in litigation. And he also participated in meetings at the White House with private individuals that were, quote unquote, linked to Trump's reelection campaign, during which Mr. Trump and others discussed seizing voting machines and almost declaring emergency powers for election-related purposes. Meadows himself, instead of sort of shielding the president from some of these conspiracy theories that were coming into his inbox, actually became known for entertaining them and setting up meetings with people like Phil Waldron, the retired colonel who was working with Trump's outside lawyers and was part of the team that briefed lawmakers on a PowerPoint presentation that detailed various options to overturn the election on January 6th.
Jackie Alemany is congressional correspondent for The Washington Post. Jackie, thank you so much.
Thanks so much, Scott.